Okay, folks, I think we're ready to start our next session. Our speaker is Laura Viana, and she's going to be talking on diversity and bilingual education in Brazil, from policy to practice. Please join me in welcoming.
Well, thank you. Today, my goal for today is to give you a glimpse of the work that I did in Brazil last summer on the issue of linguistic and cultural diversity and education policy and practice. So today I will go over some of the policies that affect indigenous communities in Brazil, how they're translated into practice, and how effective they are. So this is just a preliminary report on my field work that was only 1 month in 7 states of Brazil. Today I'm going to focus on the Amazon. Okay, so let me give you some background on Brazil's linguistic and indigenous situation. So as you can see, Brazil is among the most linguistically diverse countries. You can see that there's a large number of languages spoken, and also there's a large number of families that these languages belong to. So these languages are spoken by over 200 indigenous groups. These represent 0.2% of the total population of Brazil, which is at 200 million. And they live in virtually every state of Brazil, but 60% actually live in the Amazon region. So let's move on to indigenous peoples in education. So here's a breakdown of students in basic or K-8 education by race in 2008. So in the previous slide, I mentioned that the indigenous people represent 0.2% of the population. And here we see that indigenous students represent 0.4% of the total student population in Brazil. So they're well represented in Brazil, which is unusual for the region. So the indigenous students are in school, but I wanted to know if anything was being done to promote bilingual and indigenous language education. So my preliminary research questions were, what are the educational policies that support bilingual Portuguese language and indigenous language education? Also, what are some of the impacts of these policies? Again, as I mentioned in the introduction, how are these policies translated into practice? For this, I will discuss two case studies that I conducted in two different locations in Amazonas State. And I'm also attempting to answer how effective they are. Okay, so to attempt to answer these questions, I conducted field work in Brazil. It mostly consisted on meetings, interviews with indigenous communities, teachers. I also met with several government agencies at the local, state, and federal level. This is a summary of the places I visited and the people I met. Especially the Secretariat of Education at the Department of Education, again at the local level in Manaus and São Gabriel da Cachoeira, which are the two locations that I will be focusing on today. Also met with NGOs that deal with indigenous issues, and also met with officials at the University of Amazonas School of Education. So let's move on to what are the policies. So the first milestone in policies that affect indigenous education, indigenous language education, was actually the 1988 constitutional amendments. Let me give you some history of these amendments. So Brazil in the 1980s had just come out of a long period of military dictatorship. So when they returned to democracy again in the mid-80s, there was also a surge in social and civil rights movements. And they were only looking for, they were seeking equality under the law. They were seeking protection and rights to previously ignored minorities such as indigenous peoples, women, Afro-Brazilians, the disabled, etc., etc. So let's just focus on the articles. So this again resulted in constitutional amendments, and let's just focus on the two articles from the Constitution that focus on indigenous peoples, languages, and education. So the first article states that indigenous peoples shall have their social organization, customs, languages, creeds, and traditions recognized, as well as their original rights to the lands they traditionally occupied. That's Article 231. And Article 206 states that regular elementary education shall be given in Portuguese, and indigenous communities shall also be ensured the use of their native tongues and their own learning methods. So this was the first time that Brazil actually recognized itself as a multi-ethnic and a pluralist nation. And also, this was the first time that it officially recognized its indigenous peoples and the right to languages and bilingual education. Okay, so after this milestone, several policies and milestones followed. I'm just going to tell you what they did. So the first one, in 1991, the creation of a government body allowed for guaranteed bilingual education. In 1999, this resolution, what it allowed is to have activities, school activities, to be primarily provided by teachers from their own ethnicities. Also, there was the creation of, in 1999, of educational subsystems for system for indigenous communities, and this gave local control of education to each community. So they had the power to decide on their curriculum and also on their school calendar. Also in 2003, Brazil ratified the Convention 169 of ILO, and I'm just gonna read what that meant. This meant that children shall be taught to read and write in their own indigenous language or in the language most commonly used by the group they belong. Also called for measures to be taken to preserve and promote the development and practices of the indigenous languages of the peoples concerned. And lastly, Brazil has strongly adhered to Education for All, which is UNESCO's global commitment to improve quality education for all. Two of the six main goals are to provide free and compulsory education for children and adults, and Brazil is doing well in that goal. It reached almost universal education at 94%. And another one of the six main goals is to increase literacy, which Brazil has done so. Okay, so these are the policies, right? So now let's move on to what are some of the impacts of these policies. And for that, I have this chart. So sorry, it's in Portuguese, but this represents the number of indigenous schools per state in 2005. So you can see that in Brazil, in 1999, there were less than 1,400 indigenous schools, but in 2005, there are over 2,300 indigenous schools. And you see that in virtually every state, the number of indigenous schools has increased, especially in Amazonas. You see there were 370 indigenous schools in 1999, and only 6 years later, there were 783 indigenous schools. So it's the state that has gained the highest number of indigenous schools in 6 years. So if you look also at the distribution of indigenous students by grade through K-8, you see that in 1999, you add these two numbers up, 66.5, that means that two-thirds of the students reached first and second grade, but only a minority went beyond second grade. But if you look at the distribution in 2005, the picture has changed. Now we see that almost half of the students are going beyond second grade. So these are some of the impacts of these policies, recent policies. So my next question was, how are these policies translating into practice? And for this, to answer this, again, I conducted fieldwork in two locations in the state of Amazonas. First, my phase one is in São Gabriel da Cachoeira. São Gabriel da Cachoeira is located right here. You see the smaller blue spot. And my second case was in Manaus, the capital of Amazonas, located right there. So let me tell you a little bit about São Gabriel da Cachoeira. So it's a town in the Upper Rio Negro region in Amazon State. It's located near the border of Venezuela and Colombia. It's a pretty small town with 10,000 inhabitants, but 90% of which are indigenous. Also, the town is surrounded by over 400 indigenous villages by reservations. And also, what's special about this town is that it's the only municipality in the entire country that has three official indigenous languages, along with Portuguese. These languages are Lingua Geral, or Nyungatu, Tupano, and Baniwa. And there are over 160 indigenous schools in the town and surrounding reservations. Okay, so let me tell you what I found out during my fieldwork. So, I found out that instruction in São Gabriel da Cachoeira is conducted primarily in the indigenous language of the community, and each village can conduct instruction in either Nyungatu, Lingua Geral, Baniwa, or Tucano. So students are speaking the language in which they are taught. Also, there's a great availability of teaching materials in their native language. These publications are funded by the government. By the way, here's a Baniwa book, if you're interested in looking around. So these publications are funded by the government. They're written by the community, as I mentioned, local control of education. They're written by the community, and they're provided to schools free of charge. Because they're written by the community, the materials reflect the community's culture, values, and teaching and learning methods. And by teaching and learning methods, there's a focus on project-based learning, hands-on project-based learning, or research-based learning, and cross-disciplinary learning. Also, I found availability of courses for bilingual indigenous teachers, teacher training, and positive attitudes towards these materials in the community's language, and positive attitudes towards instruction in that language. I failed to mention that the instruction is conducted in the indigenous language, and they first learn to read and write in that language, and they introduce Portuguese later, and that's when the school becomes really bilingual. Okay. Like primarily in the indigenous language. Now let's move on to case two in Manaus. This is a very different picture. So Manaus is the capital city of Amazonas State. It has a population of over 2 million, large city. But in this case, the indigenous population accounts for only 1% of the total population. They are dispersed, they're scattered throughout the city, and they're also not organized. Also, they are not officially recognized as indigenous because they do not live in their villages, in their reservations, in their territories. So the community that I had a chance to visit was the Tikuna urban community. So the Tikuna are an indigenous group from the Amazon also, but they originally from the border of Peru and Colombia. So they speak the Tikuna language, the ones that live in their reservations, and there's 48,000 speakers of that language, about 48,000. So what did I find in this community? Well, I found that instruction was conducted in Portuguese, unfortunately. Students did not speak Tikuna. They were mostly monolingual Portuguese speakers. There was very limited teacher training for indigenous teachers. Also, very limited materials in the Tikuna language. Also, because there were very limited materials in their language, that meant there was also a lack of culture-specific materials. Also, since a lack of political involvement to improve their education, especially language education. But I did find, again, this is what the two communities have in common, positive attitudes towards materials in their language and towards instruction in their language. Okay, how effective are these policies? Okay, so preliminary results are conclusions. I'm still trying to attempt to answer these questions. So, in a hurry. I found, as you see, I found great disparity in the interpretation and implementation of educational policy. I found great disparity in the availability and access to teacher training programs. I found disparity in the availability of pedagogical materials. But again, I found positive attitudes towards those materials and positive attitudes towards instruction in indigenous languages. And so we can see that the policies are applied effectively in San Gabriel de Cachoeira, which was a community with high presence of indigenous population. They're highly organized also. And this community can serve as a model to other communities to adapt and implement. As far as then there was a problem of articulation and implementation in the urban community, and also this is tied into the local control, which was an advantage to San Gabriel de Cachoeira, but was a disadvantage to Manaus because they were unable to organize. So there's a clear need for further articulation in order to help overcome these implementation problems and focus on instruction in each community's language, reflecting each community's culture, values, and learning methods. Some limitations. I had time constraints. I only spent a short time in the Amazons, as I said before. Also, timing issues. This happened to coincide with the Soccer World Cup, and Brazil shuts down when they're playing, so those days were kind of dead days. And also, my time in the Amazons coincided with the winter break, so I had limited access to students and teachers. Also, the model, the San Gabriel de Cachoeira model, may not be transferable to other communities because it's, again, such a special case with a very high percentage of indigenous population. Again, they're very organized. The mayor is Baniwa, one of the ethnic group. The vice mayor is from another ethnicity. There's a strong political will, and that's not the case in other communities, especially in dispersed communities. It's definitely a fertile ground for further research. And thank you very much, and I appreciate your comments. If you want to look at the